The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now, Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media, joins me every single Tuesday right here on the show. Christian, how's it going, brother? How's it going?
Everything's good. That kind of sounded like a PA announcer intro. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
That was like your
Grizzlies. I'm trying out. If anybody in town, Memphis Hustle, if the Grizzlies ever in need, Tigers, I'm there.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
As long as I don't have prior engagements. You know, and I need to be paid handsomely. I have a lot. I have a lot of checklist items now that I think about it.
You have some stipulations for it. It's not just if you need me, call me.
For sure. Yes. But you're doing well.
I'm good. Yes. Very good.
Glad to hear. I want to start with the NFL today because I think the biggest news story of today is Mike Tomlin stepping away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the way this has been discussed, I've heard it discussed in multiple different fashions. One. Is that he decided he was going to step away. He got tired of the constant harassing and haranguing from the Pittsburgh media and fans, and 19 seasons was enough, felt like he couldn't move forward considering the situation, and he decided to step away on his own terms. But the other version of it is that front office, Art Rooney, everybody else, they agreed, okay, it's probably time. Need to move on. But it will be the fourth head coaching hire for the Steelers since 1969, which is absolutely insane. There's a stability for that franchise that just no one else has in the National Football League. But Mike Tomlin, done in Pittsburgh. I need to ask you, was it time? Is this something that, obviously, I think it makes sense, but do you think it was time for Mike Tomlin to be done?
Yeah, I think it was probably time 2 years ago when we started kind of feeling like, okay, has this run its course? Because it just felt stale. It felt like it had been the same thing year after year. And it felt like they kept him a little longer than they probably should. But like you said, the Steelers have only had 3 head coaches in their history. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin, or since 1960, whatever you said. So
all Super Bowl winners, might I add.
Yes, that is true. The Steelers have never, ever made a bad coaching hire. So – but yeah, I think this happens with every coach. It happened with the greatest coach of all time and Bill Belichick with New England. It happened with Tom Landry and the Cowboys, who was synonymous with the Cowboys. Like it just at a certain point, it runs its course. And 19 years for Mike Tomlin, he did a lot of good things, won a Super Bowl, went to another one in 2011. But like I said, it had just kind of gotten stale. It didn't feel like they were trying to do anything to advance themselves. And you can say, well, they traded for DK Metcalf or they got Aaron Rodgers or stuff like that. And they tried to draft a quarterback after Ben and Kenny Pickett, but they don't feel like a team that's taken the big swing. And a lot of people said they did this offseason with Rodgers and Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey, but it kind of just felt like the same old Steelers thing, right? They weren't acquiring really young talent. I mean, DK's on the younger side, but like Rodgers, we know, is past his prime. Jalen Ramsey is past his prime. Was it Darius Slay that they also went out and got past his prime? Like, they got a lot of good players that were past that point. So it just felt like over the last few years, at least since Ben retired, that they never really had a chance, right? Like, they've had some playoff appearances. They've had some, you know, they won 10 games this season. But I don't think anyone thought they were a threat. And just speaking on, you know, like you said, was this stepping away is the wording that was used. Was this actually Tomlin's decision? Was this the Rooney's decision? Where did this come from? I think there was probably some mutual agreement there, if I had to guess. Like, Tomlin has been much maligned over the last several years. Even, you know, without having a losing record and with getting to the playoffs, I don't think they've won a playoff game since 2015. But, you know, between how much criticism he's gotten from the fan base and media, and then from the ownership perspective, just no playoff success, no Super Bowl appearances since 2011, like, it just made sense for both parties to say, look, we had a great run. We did a lot of really good things. We had a lot of really good teams. But it needs to be refreshed. This is a very old roster. It was, you know, even though assistant coaches have come and gone in Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin, it's largely felt like the same team, whether it was Todd Haley calling the offense or Arthur Smith calling the offense or fill in the blank with OC and DC. Like, it has felt like a very similar team for a long time. So I think it's good for both. I'm interested to see what Tomlin does. Does he try to immediately jump back in as a head coach with another team? I think there's 9 vacancies right now. Obviously, yep, That's including Pittsburgh. Does he try to jump right back in the pool, kind of like we've seen with Harbaugh and getting interviews and stuff? Or does he do the Mike McCarthy thing? Does he take a year or 2 years off and kind of reset? And personally, I think that would be good for him. Like, I think he needs to leave some of that old school mentality behind and pick up some more of the modern game, really offensively. He just hasn't really hired an offensive coordinator that has any modern feel to them or ingenuity. He really likes to run the ball, play action pass. He likes the mid 2000s or the mid.
He likes to be a defensive minded defensive first team.
Right, which is fine. I mean, it's completely fine to be a defensive first team. Look at Seattle. I mean, they're
You still have to have an offense to complement.
Yes, you still have to have an offense that's up to date and can do some creative things and can mix things up and give multiple looks. But we've all known with Pittsburgh, especially over the last probably 6 or 7 years, you pretty much know what's coming. It's going to be short passing game. They're going to try to run the ball ad nauseum. Like, it's gotten stale. It's gotten old. I would like to see Tomlin take a year or two and kind of reassess, reevaluate, because I think he's a great coach. I don't think you can take that away from him, but I think he needs some updates. I think he needs some new tricks up his sleeve.
Something I'm interested in is these coaching candidates out there, how they view the Steelers gig. Because, you know, on the surface, you look at it and you say, okay, it's a great, unbelievably stable franchise that will give you time, seemingly. They've had 3 coaches since 1969. Now, those were great coaches, so we don't really know if you have struggles out the gate how that would look. But the truth of the matter is, right now, it's an old, bad roster. No quarterback to speak of going into the future. Aaron Rodgers may retire. He may not, but even if he doesn't retire, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers in 2026 is the guy you want at the quarterback position. And also, it just seems like from the fan base, the expectations are always higher than they need to be based on roster construction and everything else. So what do you think about that? Like, how do you think coaching candidates view the Steelers gig?
I think there's got to be some hesitancy as far as the roster, right? Like, I think much like we've talked about with college football over the last year or several months, like, name doesn't mean as much as it used to, and it feels like it's that way in the NFL also, right? Like, you look at the Cowboys hiring, and I don't know how much due diligence they did, but it's not like they went out and got the number one coach in that cycle. And maybe that's a bad example because I know they like to do in-house, but When I look at it, I think coaches now really, especially the smart ones, I think they choose jobs based on roster, not, hey, this is Pittsburgh. There's a history of winning here. Of course, they're going to say that in the opening press conference, whoever it is. But just like Ben Johnson, that's a good example, right? Why do we think he took the Chicago job? He basically said the year before when he was a head coaching candidate that he did not take a head coaching job because he did not see a roster that was ready to potentially compete and had the right quarterback in place. And then in this past year cycle, he chose to go to the Bears. He felt like Caleb Williams was the right quarterback there and felt like there was enough on that roster to be competitive immediately. And here they are winning the playoff game and going to the divisional round. I think if you're a head coaching candidate looking at Pittsburgh, I don't see that path to immediate success. And like I said, used to, you got 4 or 5 years before you got on the hot seat or people started talking about you being fired. But over the last, 5 to 7 years, we see so many coaches that are one and done or two years and done and never really got an opportunity to build that roster. And we all know that starts with the quarterback. So you're looking at Pittsburgh with a pick in the early 20s in a draft that's not deep at the quarterback position. And so I think when you're looking at them, you go, how do you immediately compete? And you also have the most expensive defense in the NFL, which really wasn't a good defense this year. They were not great defensively, even with how much of their cap was spent on the defensive side of the ball. So I think if it is someone that looks at it from that perspective of history and, you know, what coaches here have done and the longevity of the franchise, then maybe one of those people takes it. But if it's these young up and coming guys, I think most of them, I'm not going to say everybody, but most of them are looking for rosters that are a few pieces away where maybe they weren't that great last year. But if you make some tweaks and make some additions and have that cap space to work with, you can be competitive immediately. Another example, Mike Vrabel with the Patriots. They had the quarterback in place in Drake May. They went out and spent, I think, maybe the most money ever spent in free agency last offseason and really upgraded that defense and drafted Will Campbell in the first round and went from a 4-13 team to a 12-5 or 13-14, whatever they were this year. I don't see that with Pittsburgh. Maybe someone who's way smarter than me and has way more knowledge on those things than me can see that, but I just don't see them as a ready-made team to win. Luckily, you have that they've given coaches time, but I'm with you. Like, they've given coaches time because they've been successful pretty quickly, and we don't know what would happen with the next candidate. So if it's me, I don't think that it is an attractive job. But there probably is a candidate out there somewhere that's going, wow, I can coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. How awesome is that?
Yep. All right. Now, college football playoff, national championship coming up in 6 days, next Monday. And it's going to be Miami versus Indiana. Miami gets there with a 31-27 win over Ole Miss. They have really run the ball successfully and gotten after opposing offenses pretty well. Until that Ole Miss game. Although I did think they did a good job of getting off the field on third down. I think Ole Miss was something like 2-for-12, 2-for-10, something like that on third down. But Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor were not really a factor in that game because of how Ole Miss ran offense. I expected that RPO heavy, get the ball out fast, you know, play action, that type of thing. But on the other side, you have Indiana, who has just – they've played 2 college football playoff games, and it hasn't even been a contest. Hasn't been a contest.
34.
Yeah. 38-3 over Alabama and 56-22 in the rematch against Oregon. So how do you see this game right now? I mean, it's a big line. It's a pretty big line for a national championship. 8.5 points Indiana's favored by.
Yeah, I don't know if it's enough.
Right. Based on what we've seen in their first 2 CFP games, I agree. But it is in Miami, and Miami's been playing good football.
Yeah, but I heard something today that Indiana has the biggest graduation base of any university in the country. It's something crazy amount of people that have graduated from Indiana, and we've seen how they've traveled in the other games.
Yep.
So it might be in Miami, it might be at Hard Rock Stadium, but I still think there'll probably be more Indiana fans than Miami fans there. Like, I'm just gonna be honest. Like, we know that Miami football used to be massive. It's not the same that it used to be. I still think I'm not saying there won't be a lot of Hurricanes fans there, but these Indiana fans are ride or die. And I think they're in more places than we realize. They've just kind of been hiding in the shadows because the team has been so bad. But I want to rewind a little bit before I talk about the game itself. Like, do you think from beginning of year to end of year, this has to be the most unlikely of national championships, right?
That we've seen, certainly in the 21st century, right? Really in the entire CFP's history, I would say so, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, Miami was good at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, Carson Beck was a Heisman favorite. They looked like a really good team, and then no one expected. Most people didn't even expect them to make the college
football playoff. They barely made the field. They were the last team in.
Yeah,
last at large.
They were a Duke overtime win over Virginia. That's how they made it. That's how they got in. So they were on the border of making the playoff. They made it. Not necessarily limping in, but they had lost back-to-back games in the middle of the season, and people had kind of stopped talking about them. And then, like you said, they turn up the running game with Mark Fletcher. That defense just was incredible in the first two college football playoff games, and they did what they needed to against a really good Ole Miss offense. And then Indiana. Everybody can say, well, Indiana was a playoff team last year. No, no one thought that they were going to repeat that success. We thought that was the once-in-a-lifetime Cinderella story.
And it was an easy schedule and all of that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then they opened the year. This is way rewinding it, but they opened the year against Old Dominion, and they win 27-13.
Right.
So it's not like people were looking at them at the beginning of the season, not until they just bullied Illinois. It was like 63-10 or something like that. And then I think people started saying, okay, maybe. And then they went on a run where they pretty much torched everybody other than – Penn State and Oregon, and outside of that, they really ran through their competition. So it is a very unlikely national championship. I think the parity, to me at least, always makes it more fun. It kind of does give that anybody can go there feel. And even though I know how Indiana was playing at the end of the season, Miami wasn't that team. Like, a lot of people felt confident about Indiana. They go beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship, and then steamroll their way through the college football playoff, but no one felt like that about Miami going in. A lot of people, probably the majority of people, thought they would lose to Texas A&M in the first round. So it just continues to show that even though a lot of people might not be on board with this 12-team playoff and there might be confusion still on how everything works, it makes sense. I mean, the number 10 team in the college football playoff is in the national championship. Last year, the number 8 team in Ohio State won it, and I know you can make your arguments there about they changed the way the buys work, everything in this year would have been different. But still, number 8 seed won it last year, number 10 seed's in it this year. I think it's really cool. But as far as the game goes, I have a lot of respect for what Miami's done in the playoff. They've really leaned on their running game, which has just been powerful, to say the least. Like, their offensive line has taken over all 3 of the college football playoff games at some point in it, and their defensive line hasn't been far behind that. And Carson Beck hasn't been incredible, but he's done what he's needed to do. He's managed the game for the most part, taking care of the ball and made good decisions and allowed them to win games. But Indiana's just in a different stratosphere from everybody else right now. I mean, the Alabama win kind of threw some people off, and they were like, okay, didn't see that coming. No, nobody saw them beating Oregon by 34. We thought Oregon was a really good team. We thought that could have been the battle of the potential number 1 picks in Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza. But they are so well coached. They're so technically sound. They do everything right. Like, when you watch them, you don't see guys out of positions. You don't see guys miss tackles or miss assignments on the offensive and defensive line. They are as disciplined of a football team as I've probably ever seen at the collegiate level. And they play so well in tandem, right? We talk about complementary football all the time. Offensively, defensively, special teams, they are all so clearly on the same wavelength. And it's a lot of fun to watch. It may be not entertaining because they're not playing close games, but to see one of these dominant teams when a lot of people were skeptical about will we have any of those teams that are truly dominant, again, like, 2019 LSU or the early 2000s Miami teams, like, or also the early 2000s USC teams. Like, will we see teams like that again? The Alabamas, the Georgias of the last several years. A lot of people thought that might be dead, of seeing a dominant team, and it's going to be a lot closer. And Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, of all people and of all teams, have shown everyone that if you have the right players that buy into the program and you have the right coach and coaching staff behind them, you can still be a really dominant team in this era, even without the elite five-star recruits and five-star transfers. So we've said it ad nauseum. What they've done is unprecedented. It's never been done before. It's one of the more absurd and unreal feeling stories in all of the history of sports. And that might sound hyperbolic, but I don't think it is. Indiana is not by any means a powerhouse, and here they are looking like potentially one of the best college football teams of all time. I'll just say it. If they go out there and win this national championship, there's not many teams that are above them in the history of the sport. So I think it's an intriguing matchup, but I can't see anybody competing with this team right now until proven otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of funny. They're not doing it with these explosive, unbelievable five-star athletes. They have eight former four-stars, I believe, on their roster. They have no five-stars. So they're not doing it with these explosive athletes. The one word I would use is efficient, and I don't think you need to look any further than their starting quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman winner. In the two playoff games, 31 for 36, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So if you listen to me right there, he only has 5 incompletions in the college football playoff against Alabama and Oregon. He's got 8 touchdowns in that same time frame. And I know that you and I were sort of in the same category when it came to Fernando Mendoza and his NFL draft stock, right? You know, still. Weirdly enough, even though he won the Heisman, played really well this year, I want to see a little bit more to be that 1-1, right? To be that first overall pick to the Las Vegas Raiders, to be their franchise quarterback. How much has he proven to you in these college football playoffs in regards to his NFL draft hype and stock? The guy he's really competing against just beat 56-22 in Dante Moore.
Yeah, I don't know what else he can really do, right? I'll kind of summarize it like this. I've seen some people comparing his season to Joe Burrow's 2019 season, which is crazy. Just because, it's not
sheer stats tell you no.
It's not of the same being. But what Fernando Mendoza has had to do and what he's done is everything that he's been asked to do, right? And that's all you can judge someone off, right? They're not turning the ball loose to him and telling him to throw it 55 times a game. They're remaining balanced, and when they need a big play or when they need to take a shot, they do it. They don't overuse him. They don't try to be something that they're not, right? They're not a team that's going to drop back and throw it 50 times a game. They're not a team that's going to take 8 to 10 deep shots a game. They're going to live in that game manager type of aspect where it's like, look, don't make mistakes, pick up first downs, keep us ahead of the chains, and don't turn the ball over. Just do those things and we will win. And he has done it almost to perfection. I think I saw earlier this week that he had maybe 4 or 5 games this year with more touchdown passes than incompletions.
It's crazy.
That's insane. That doesn't happen. You can't do that if you're not the best quarterback at that level. It doesn't matter if you don't throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns every game. If you are able to complete the ball at that high of a clip, I think he's at 73 and 75% completion percentage this year. And what is he up to? 41 touchdowns now. Yes, it is not the 2019 Joe Burrow season. We don't have to make that out of it. But it's extremely impressive what he's been able to do. So I think for me personally, I'm not someone who gets too caught up in the game-to-game numbers. It's more of the eye test. Do they pass the eye test? And he passes it with his size. He's a much bigger dude, I think, than most people would realize. So he's got the size. He doesn't have elite arm strength, but he can pretty much make every throw on the field, whether it's deep, intermediate, short. He can pretty much make every throw, and his decision making is very high level. And a lot of people underrate that at the collegiate level because they're more focused on the measurables and the arm strength, and that's how you get the Will Levises and the Anthony Richardsons of the world.
Right.
But with him, it's like you don't need to say what could he be if we get him in the right system with the right coach. And there's so many of those quote-unquote projects that we see nowadays, those two guys that I just mentioned, I'll keep using them because of the first ones that came to mind. But, like, based on his body of work at the collegiate level, Anthony Richardson didn't deserve to be a top five pick. But because he was 6'5", 245, ran a 4.4 and jumped 40-inch vertical and had the elite arm strength, he was a top five pick, and he hasn't panned out to this point. But someone like Fernando Mendoza, they don't need to do that. He doesn't need to be able to throw the ball 85 yards. He doesn't need to run a 4.4. He doesn't need any of those things, because when you look at the accuracy, the decision-making, the touch on the throws, the ball placement, when you look at all the things, that, the leadership, talk about that. When you talk about all the intangibles that make a good professional quarterback, I think Fernando Mendoza checks pretty much every box. So I know people can get caught up in the potential, and people can get caught up in the game-by-game numbers and all those types of things, but just turn the tape on and watch him, and he's as pro-ready of a quarterback as they come to me as far as the last 10 to 15 years watching college football. There's not many quarterbacks that you look at like him and go, yeah, he's ready. He's ready for the pros. He doesn't need to sit. You just get him in a system, and he's able to learn it like he can run it to perfection. Those are few and far between.
The best quarterbacks in the National Football League are usually efficient. They usually have great ball placement. Whether or not they have a big arm or a, you know, pea shooter, it's all about ball placement. And they usually get their team into the right play at the right time. And of those boxes, he checks all of them, and I think he you know, passes those tests with flying colors. So I think I've learned a lot about him through the CFP and, you know, these pressure pack situations, still performing at the highest possible level. So he definitely won me over. He has won me over. All right, now a little Memphis stuff we have to get into. We'll get into basketball very briefly at the end. But football, transfer portal, Charles Huff doing some work. Dallin Hayden headed back to the city. He's got his quarterback in Marcus Stokes from West Florida. I know that there's some drama in his past, and hopefully they vetted all that, whatever you think about it. But he was very good at West Florida, and he's a former four-star quarterback that committed to Florida out of high school. Jamon Tapp is a real edge rusher that he got from Southern Miss, 7.5 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Ian Foster, one of the best free safeties on the open market, and he's a guy from Southern Miss that he coached, Charles Huff did. And he had some high-level Power 4 offers on the table, and he picked Memphis. So what have you thought of Charles Huff's transfer portal additions? Because I think last time we talked, we were wondering when the ball was going to drop. When are you going to get these bigger names? And since we last talked, seems like a lot of names have gotten across the finish line for him.
Yeah, I think what I was intrigued to see, and I think what we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, was what was Charles Huff able to get outside of the Southern Miss guys? Because if you go look at any of these coaches that move schools, they bring the guys that they want with them. Like, I mean, you, for example, if you go look at Penn State's transfer portal recruiting class right now, I think they have something like 31 commits, and 20-something of them came from Iowa State with Matt Campbell. So those guys from Southern Miss, even though they're great additions, and some of them probably could have went to higher levels, most of them are going to stick with the coach. I think Jamon Tapp was the biggest one when you look at his production from last year. So great to get him. But I wanted to see what he did outside of it and what he's done, especially you mentioned Marcus Stokes at the quarterback position and Dallin Hayden at the running back position. Getting those guys has been big. Dallin Hayden, Ohio State, then to Colorado, now to Memphis. Coming back home, I think he could be otherworldly at this level. I know if you go look at his season-by-season stats, they haven't necessarily jumped off the page. We know Ohio State kind of runs a timeshare, and he didn't get a ton of opportunity there. I mean, go look at the guys that he was on the roster with. It's kind of difficult to break through there, but I think he could be really special at Memphis. If he's given, you know, given the keys and given the workload and given the opportunity, I think he could be the best back in the conference potentially. And then Marcus Stokes is very, very intriguing. He was extremely productive at West Florida. How does that translate? We'll have to wait and see. But the talent's clearly there. Like you said, four-star coming out of high school, committed to Florida, had some drama go on, and his name kind of disappeared for a while. But he's given another opportunity. at a higher level than West Florida, and we'll see how he capitalizes on it. He's been a really good dual threat guy. He's thrown the ball well. He's ran the ball well. He's put up some pretty ridiculous numbers at West Florida, but how does that translate? It looks good on paper. It looks like a great fit. When you look at a backfield that has Marcus Stokes and Dallin Hayden, that could be high-powered, that could be difficult for defenses in the American to defend. So I think he's really nailed those, especially with losing A.J. Hill and having to replace him. That wasn't an easy thing to do. I know a lot of Memphis fans were excited to see, you know, what he could potentially be. But like I talked about earlier, when a head coach leaves, they take the guys they want. Ryan Silverfield's done that at Memphis. He's pretty much gutted the roster at Memphis, and we see Charles Huff building it up. I think Memphis is up over 20-plus commits from the portal now. So a lot of those guys are Southern Miss, but he's starting to bring in guys from other schools that I think can make an immediate impact, and quarterback and running back are two of the biggest, and I think he did a great job on those.
And I'm good with his coordinator hires as well. Loses Jason Seymour, his original DC hire to Georgia Tech, brings in Lance Guidry. And Lance Guidry's had success elsewhere. I know Miami fans have say what they say about him. Year one, he was good. Year two, struggled. And then they, you know, got to this year, and they were very, very good defensively. So they didn't miss him very much. So I don't know if you can listen to Miami fans about what Lance Guidry is as a DC. But it is a bigger name. It's a bigger name than we're used to here at the University of Memphis on the defensive side of the ball, and he's got a lot of experience. So I have appreciated just about everything that Charles Huff has done this offseason, including these transfer portal additions. Now, final thing, Tiger basketball drops to 7-8, loses to Florida Atlantic on the road. It's their worst start as a program since 2000-2001, John Calipari's first year. I don't even want to lead a question your way, give you a leading question. I just want to ask you your thoughts at the moment, where we stand. I guess this is sort of how we're going to talk about this team going forward. It feels like there's some apathy setting in from the fan base.
Yeah, the thoughts and opinions on this team haven't really changed throughout the entire season for me. I mean, you know, there's clearly no rhyme or reason. There's clearly no chemistry there, and we're seeing the fruits of that. We're seeing a roster that doesn't really fit together, that doesn't really have any high-end talent, that you look at Penny and the staff, they don't really know who to put on the floor, who to take off the floor, who to put on the floor together at the same time, and how to mix and match these lineups. Like, there's no consistency. There's no meshing between this team. It's just ugly, and it's been ugly all year. And I think we presented the question either on here or on the podcast a couple weeks ago. It was like, how bad is conference play going to be? Because even though this conference is awful right now, like the American is as low as it's been over the last several years. I mean, I can't remember a year where it's been this bad across the board. And typically we would say that benefits Memphis and they should run away with it. But this team cannot run away with it. This team will not run away with this conference. And they're proving that early on. So we said they're probably going to lose a lot of games in conference. This is not going to be some team that runs the table or turns it on in conference play and only loses 2-4 games. Like, it's going to be ugly. They're going to win some. They're going to lose some. They're going to lose games that most people, when you look at the two names that people think Memphis should win, but they're not necessarily better than that team. And Florida Atlantic was a great example of that. But yeah, that's been my feelings all year. It hasn't been fun to watch. It's been ugly. It's been confusing. It's been frustrating for fans, and it's just going to keep being the same, because clearly nothing has been figured out. There's been no clarity throughout the entire season.
Yep, and we'll leave it at that. we don't need to elaborate. I agree with every utterance. Christian, great stuff as always. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. See y'all back next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media on X at CFowlerBCM. Check out our podcast that releases every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. It'll be live on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. You can go check that out, youtube.com. Or find it wherever you get your podcast, Apple or Spotify. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we will get into some of the moving and shaking going on in the National Football League. We have the coaching carousel going on. We know the big news of the day is that Mike Tomlin has been fired. But a lot of coordinators being fired as well from some big-name playoff caliber NFL franchises. So we'll talk about that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026.
Soccer practice every week.
Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner.
When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first 2 orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The divisional round matchups are set in the National Football League, but the teams that are at home or have been sent home are making decisions for next year. And there was 2 big decisions made by playoff teams that got knocked out this past weekend that I think were absolutely deserved, and they need to find a way to move forward. First off, I'll start with the Chargers. They fired their OC, Greg Roman. Our good friend Isaiah is probably happy about that. But Greg Roman, I think he does a good job at building up offenses. But once you get to that point where you need to get over the top, he seems to struggle. Now, back in the day, he had a new innovative offense that featured the quarterback run. But since then, it just hasn't been the same. He hasn't innovated in a way that has been very good and adaptable to the game that we play in the National Football League at this point. He, in his past 2 stops with the Ravens and with the Chargers, had 2 great quarterbacks, right? Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert. Combined in the playoffs with those 2 quarterbacks, as an OC, 1-5, 1-5, and those quarterbacks combined for 2 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Decent during the regular season, decent throughout the history of his career, but there's something missing at this point in 2026 in the new era when it comes to playoff football. So, Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, need to find a new OC. Greg Roman is not the guy anymore. Now, this next one is very, very expected, okay? I don't know what they do. I don't know if he's been officially fired, but he is definitely not going to be the OC next year. But the Eagles have officially announced, Nick Sirianni has officially announced that Kevin Petula, their OC for this year, will not be the OC headed into next year. And I saw a stat that I thought was fake. I truly thought was fake. But the Eagles on Sunday against the 49ers with Kevin Petullo calling plays, the Eagles ran 48 hitch routes. That's 27.6% of all their routes, the most of any playoff team this week, and other teams averaged 12.6. So he doubled up on hitch routes. The most boring, least explosive route in the game of football, quite frankly. So it was time.
I can't believe the 49ers were able to stop them.
Exactly.
You're going up against arguably the best defensive coordinator in the NFL with Robert Saleh. You're going to run the same play 48 times.
We're going to run 48
hits. I can't believe he's stopping me. I don't know what to do here. Yes. It's like, brother, run a different play.
But this is an interesting thing because the Eagles have had just a revolving door of offensive coordinators. And we sit here and we criticize and, you know, talk about Jalen Hurts as if he's this quarterback who can't throw the ball out of his own shadow. And, you know, he's just a game manager. He's nothing more than that. But he's a Super Bowl MVP. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's been to another Super Bowl. But here's the truth of the matter with Jalen Hurts. Since 2016, since he was in college, he's had a new offensive coordinator every single year of his career. He had, I think, Shane Steichen for two seasons. But other than that, every single year, whether he was at Alabama, moved over to Oklahoma with the Eagles, he has had a new offensive coordinator every year of his career. So he's going to have to learn a new system, learn new terminology on the fly.
So speaking of coordinators, I'm just curious because we have a couple of OC positions open now. Where do you think someone, because in my opinion, it seems like Mike McDaniel is kind of the guy that a lot of people are targeting as the best OC on the market right now.
Sure. But
what's the best fit for him?
He's also going to get some interviews for head coach as well, I would imagine.
I would like, if I am an NFL team, I would try to bring in McDaniel as an OC because I just think that that's where he thrives the absolute most. And I don't know if there's like a perfect fit for him for head coach right now. But if you're the Eagles, is McDaniel, or do you have the personnel that doesn't necessarily fit what he wants to run?
No, I think he could make that work. I think that the Chargers would be a decent fit for him as well. Good quarterback. You have a coach who wants to run the ball and be innovative in the run game. And Mike McDaniel, I know a lot of people don't necessarily know this, but when he was with the 49ers, he was one of the most innovative run game coordinators in the game. So that would be a fit to me. But you have to find somebody who has an open job at OC, and we'll see what happens with the coaching carousel because that could really dictate a lot of the open OC games.
I know because that Detroit's really big on them right now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. 9 head coaching openings. And listen, there's going to be a defensive hire, whatever. How many of these 9 openings are going to be filled by zone running coach, offensive mind, young, that does those West Coast concepts, throwing the ball? Probably 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'd say most of them.
Take a run at it and see what happens there. That's literally, that's what has worked in the NFL for better part of the past decade, and I'd imagine a lot of these head coaching openings turn that direction. Now, the Steelers are going to be an interesting one because they've always gone relatively defensive-minded.
Sure.
So I wonder if they continue that, but their big problem, why Mike Tomlin's no longer the coach, is because of the offense. Do they want to pivot completely and update their coaching hires to reflect what the NFL is now? So I was just thinking about that. Of these 9 head coaching openings, how many of them are going to be filled by, you know, the Clint Kubiaks of the world, the guy in Seattle as the OC who's doing that zone running, West Coast concepts? It feels like a lot of these openings are going to be, shaped that way, tilted that way.
Well, it feels like the teams in the NFL right now that are having the most success are running that.
Yeah.
That is the winning formula right
now. I know
now.
The Vikings had a down year because of J.J. McCarthy, but Kevin O'Connell does it.
Right.
Sean McVay does it.
Yes.
Shanahan does it.
Yes.
I mean,
like you
Seahawks
said, Seattle
with Clint Kubiak, they do it. So, like, that's where you're seeing a lot of the success come through.
What is Sean Payton? Is it like a suit?
He's different.
He's just his own thing.
He's a zone-beating menace. That's what he tries to do. And it's West Coast. It's a West Coast throwing scheme. Run scheme. We've seen their run game.
Right.
Leaves a lot to be desired. But, he's older. But, like, from an offensive standpoint, I guess he fits closer to what I'm talking about. But there's 9 head coaching openings, and I'm very curious to see how they get figured out and what type of candidate ultimately gets most of these gigs. I would imagine it's what I just brought up. All right, now, we do have the divisional round game set. We'll start. We'll go in order, I guess.
Okay.
And just sort of talk through these. Bills, Broncos. I find this very, very interesting. The Bills have gotten through and survived in advance one time against the Jags. And down the stretch of the season, it was the Josh Allen show. I mean, it's really the entire season was the Josh Allen show. They don't have a good run defense. Their defense is hurt. and broken up and just not very good in general. They have more injuries that are adding up. Tyrell Shavers.
Two torn ACLs from their win. ACL.
I mean, who's
congrats.
Healthy? Can you tell me who's healthy in the wide receiver room? Keon Coleman. Gabe Davis isn't even.
No,
he's hurt,
Gabe
too.
Davis tore his ACL.
He tore his ACL. Like, who's available?
Khalil Shakir and Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Keon Coleman.
There we go.
James but Cook.
The Bills have been so reliant on Josh Allen, but they're facing the second-best defense in the National Football
League. Dalton Kincaid's even hurt right now.
Yeah, but
he's got a questionable.
They're facing the second-best defense in the National Football League. And I think the Broncos, while the run game hasn't been good, and I don't know how much they can expose that faulty run defense of the Buffalo Bills, it feels like their offense can do enough to ultimately win this game, especially at home in the altitude in Mile High Stadium. It just feels like the Broncos have a really good matchup on their hands. Now, it's kind of strange, and I understand this to a certain extent because Josh Allen's been here before. Bo Nix is still getting his lumps. And really, a lot of the Broncos team is getting their lumps, and a lot of the Bills team has been here before. But the Bills are 1.5-point favorites in this game. That, to me, stinks to high heaven.
Is
I don't
that
like that
just
line.
Just because of Josh Allen?
I would imagine. I would imagine because he's got experience in these
games. Right, and Bo Nix doesn't.
He doesn't. So I look at this game, and like my brain is telling me Broncos, but that line is confusing the hell out of me right now.
I think the Broncos should be able to win this game. They are far and away the healthier team. They've got an offense that is dynamic for the most part, and I do think that the Bills just have so many injuries offensively that you're going to be relying on guys that may not be able to step up. Now, you might get a huge game from Dalton Kincaid. You might get a huge game from James Cook, but that is going to require you beating this Denver Broncos defense, which is very difficult to do right now. So it just seems like the deck is stacked against the Bills, but like you said, they have Josh Allen, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL, so he may be able to pull off a miracle here. It's just we haven't seen him have a ton of success without his skill position guys, yeah. And that's just where he's up
and
against
he doesn't. He, well, we actually have seen him have success without skill position guys,
like,
but I'm talking about this
long
season.
Success. Yeah,
I get what you mean. He doesn't have anybody
right.
left. Everybody's gone.
It's
everybody's
like
hurt.
Khalil Shakir, Brandon Cooks, Keon Coleman. It's not awful. But it's just you need one of those guys to overperform.
Let's be honest, that's pretty awful.
It's really
if it was Brandon Cooks 4 years ago, I'd feel a lot different. It's Brandon Cooks in 2026.
You're really leaning on like Dalton Kincaid and James Cook.
Yeah, and James Cook's going to have a big game, I think.
And Dalton Kincaid's hurt. Like he's questionable right now, so he's a little bit banged up.
Yeah, 49ers Seahawks will be the night game there. It'll be on Fox. Just another good divisional match.
This game might be awesome.
Rest of rust for the Seahawks. That's going to be something to pay attention to. But the 49ers are in a bizarre spot because I did not expect them to last this long, to be as good as they have been this entire season. They beat the Eagles in the first round. They had a 12-win season despite injuries to Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, who may come back. It looks like he has been planned to return from IR. So
that would be
a huge
addition
to bring him back because they're down to fourth or fifth string linebackers
right.
at this particular moment. But they still did a good job against Kevin Petullo's offense, right? Because he ran 48 hitch routes.
Well,
but the Seahawks are not going to make it as easy on you. But no. I think both of these offenses are so similar that it's almost indistinguishable when you see them on the offensive end. I just want to see if Sam Darnold can get his first playoff win. The Seahawks are 7.5-point favorites. 7.5-point favorites, which I think makes sense. It's
right.
It's tough to play in Seattle. It'll likely be I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but it can get cold and nasty there this time of year, although I think the early forecast is it'll be around 50s.
Yeah, 48 degrees.
Yeah, so that's not that bad. I think the 49ers can handle that. I don't really have a pick. We'll decide that as the week goes along.
I think the Seahawks
but
will
win. This is a good game. I don't know if they cover 7.5, though.
Yeah, it's just I think that the 49ers, their defense was excellent against the Eagles, but it's not like the Eagles are throwing different looks at them.
Yeah, I was going to say excellent.
And
is,
I think that the Seahawks
it's
offense
hard to measure against the Kevin Petullo.
So damn good. And yeah. They can run the ball. They've got JSN. They've got Sam Darnold.
And their defense is pretty good,
too. I just think that they are healthier, and their health should be able to swing it to them.
And then Sunday we have Texans versus the Patriots. I not so fast. You know, I love the Patriots. I think they're a balanced team. Probably the most balanced team left in the AFC playoff picture. But the Texans are playing good ball. Now, get the quarterback center exchange figured out, for God's sake.
Yes.
But Texans have more than enough to bother Drake May on the defensive end. I think that they can absolutely get after him with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. back end should be able to hold up. It's about that offense versus the Patriots defense. Are you going to be able to put up points? Because last night, ultimately against the Steelers, yeah, they put a,
your defense was your best offense.
It looked good, 30-6, but the defense had two scores. Yeah. So
God, what a dreadful game.
It was a 7-6 game going into half. It was just, listen, if they are able to get the quarterback center exchange if right, if Woody Marks is able to have a similar game to what he was able to do against the Steelers, against the Patriots, I think the Texans can absolutely go win this ball game. But it's going to be a lot tougher than it was this week. I can tell you that. The Patriots aren't going to shoot themselves in the foot like the Steelers offense.
Yeah, I think it's the best defense that the Patriots have faced all season, and I don't even think it's particularly close. Like, and it's going to be interesting just to see how Drake May performs. I think he can perform well, but it is going to be a more difficult proposition for him than he has really had this year. I think the Patriots have more talent, like you said, they're more balanced. That Texans defense though is just a game breaker. And if they can turn him over a couple of times, it could get squirrely.
Yes, and then the final one, this is my favorite matchup. I'm so excited for this one. Rams versus the Bears in Chicago in probably the cold.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This weather game we've seen of the entire year. This could get to single digits. I don't know if there's going to be snowfall. I believe there's not. That's not in the forecast as of right this moment. But the forecast is at this second. This is not counting like, how cold it feels outside. 14 degrees. Rams are an indoor team, and they generally play well in warmer weather.
When you have a quarterback with a hurt finger.
And you have a quarterback with a hurt finger. We'll see.
Those helmets.
We'll see.
If he smacks another helmet but in 14-degree weather.
Bears defense is what I'm watching closest in this game. I think their offense can do some things to bother the Rams defense. Caleb Williams seems to be clicking. He's making all the throws he needs to make. I still can't get over that throw to the sideline.
Crazy. Fourth and eight in just a dime.
I mean, in the thing about it, you have a safety over top. You have to get it under him. You have to get it over top of the linebacker that's sitting under Roma Dunze, and then you have to get it away from the corner who's behind Roma Dunze going to the left side.
He's also fading out of bounds when he throws the ball.
Yes, and he's running to the left.
Crazy.
Away from his arm, and he has no feet on the ground. It was a jump throw.
It was a Jordan logo throw.
Yeah, it
was nuts.
It's absolutely insane. So I think that I like Caleb Williams and what he showed in that first round. I think that Bears offense get it going. I hope they don't dig themselves a hole like they did against the Packers, because you can't do that against the Rams. They will beat you, and they can run the ball. They can sustain drives if you let them get a lead. But I'm paying very, very close attention to this Bears defense and what they're going to do to disrupt the normal pattern of behavior from Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, and Matt Stafford. What are you doing on first and second down to keep them from bothering you and staying on script?
I am rooting for the Bears. I feel like the Rams are the better team. But I'm rooting for the Bears.
Yeah.
Come on, Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago. They listen, man. Bears are a historic franchise. Understand that. Know about the 85. Duh, Bears. I get it. But I think they're the most, for me at least, they're the team I'm rooting on the most the rest of these playoffs.
I think so, too. I think I agree.
Anybody close? Anybody else close? Seahawks, I don't mind.
I do root for the Seahawks and 49ers because they are –
I do want to see the Texans make a run.
It's a pretty big gap between the Bears and second because it is such a tortured fan base and they've had to go through so much. I do think the Bills are kind of a blank space type of, okay, you want this team because they're fan base.
And in the 90s, you lost so many Super Bowls in a row. They're tortured as well.
Yeah.
I think that's the general gist of how I root. Being an NFL agnostic is like, okay, who's the most tortured fan base?
Right,
I want
same.
Them to win.
I do too.
That's why I've taken a liking to the Lions these past couple years.
I think most people, and like, yeah, I felt like I lost a family member a bit when I was like, oh, the Lions aren't in the playoffs. It feels odd.
Also, long-held grudge. Need the Bears to win because L.A. Rams.
Rams,
and
yeah.
St. Louis. And yeah, Stan Kroenke. I'm tired of watching Stan Kroenke's teams win.
Yeah, is it for
I'm
you?
I'm sick of it. The Nuggets, the Avs. And the freaking Rams. I can't do it, man. Like, this guy completely spurned and tried to burn the city of St. Louis to the ground on the way out. And ultimately, he's had major success after doing that.
So for you, it's 50 feet of crap, Rams, in terms of rooting?
Do I have to list them? Do I have to even list them? Can I keep them off the list? Like, I don't want anything to do with that franchise, man. Although I do like the pieces they have.
I like Stafford.
Yeah. And Puka, not as much. Mm-hmm. Fan of Davante Adams.
Sure.
But, yeah, 50 feet, 100 feet, 150 feet, 200 feet of crap, then the Rams. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. We'll start up the final hour of the Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next, and Adam Rittenberg from ESPN will join. We have some CFP to talk about, national championship coming up in 6 days, and we'll get to some Charlie Huff and some transfer portal as well. With Adam.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump?
Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 and start learning today.